Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Ringside Wrap. Rich Tate here, and running solo for the moment. Les Thatcher actually called me this afternoon. Unfortunately, he's stuck at the gym once again because he hopes that everybody has a prosperous and healthy new year and that everybody enjoyed their Christmas, had good times with their family, passed along the message that he in fact did. He hopes that everybody has a great new year except for me and really sorry that he can't be here with us. He is at least a third of the reason you guys call or listen in each week. And hopefully he'll be back here with us next week. They're trying to get a scheduling out. Apparently they're short-handed at the gym where he's doing some training there in the Cincinnati area. Speaking of Cincinnati, get off at the gun. Ring of Honor is going to hit Cincinnati the first time in January. So they've run Dayton quite a bit, but that's a kind of a new market for them. So as they start to apparently start the year branching into markets. I know me from Atlanta, I don't get to see them. I end up having to watch them on the play on the website, as entertaining as that is. I'd rather see it on the tube, and at least that way I know a lot more same opportunity. Chance I get, I'm out of the ring. Brought it going. But I digress as we show up here on the line. Off the top, go ahead and hit some news. Obviously, Randy Orton not doing real well right now, having some back problems. He had those several weeks. Really not a storyline, even though it kind of appeared as such at first. The WWE website put it out there. Last night, during a Falls Count Anywhere match with Wade Barrett, ended up working it. I'm not sure yet. But hopefully he's back soon. I noticed with him out now and Alberto Del Rio, that's two big hits, at least to the top line talent. Raw and SmackDown. Got Kane coming back, and I'm sure Triple H would be happy to join if need be. Of course, they are starting to elevate some guys, and that's what we Zack Ryder. Of course, no offense to Zack, but I was thinking about it during the week. My opinion of Zack Ryder at this point, not really sold on him yet as a talent, however. I guess time will tell. But at this point, really what I see him as is, I guess, the younger version of a John Cena. He's coming in. He's more, I'll put it in a music term. They rush and they're poison. More poison. Close to rush, so. You take what you can get. Maybe it's entertaining. Poison, I guess, could be entertaining. Look back at it now, I don't hate him quite as bad as I did. Still not a And speaking of music, Mike did just text me, says he'll be here in shortly, so that way you can get a break from listening to me talk and ramble. But it's just going back over Christmas, and if anybody does want to call in here, and discuss anything you got. But the Christmas, one of the things I was going to ask Mike was what did he do with his son? I know he still got a little one, and mine are pretty much just about grown. More of a needs type Christmas around our house. But back to music, this was the first year in a while that I haven't gotten any wrestling related gifts. More or less music, and ended up picking up a couple of books my wife got me. One being Duff McKagan's biography. Of course, I ended up getting the one from Slash that he did. Huge fan of Guns N' Roses, just the right age as they were. 80s, 7, first album broke, I was 19. Big part of the music scene in Atlanta. Actually ended up landing, believe it or not, ended up landing a bootleg copy of the album before it came. And, thought, God, these guys are like blowing me away, but I never expected them to take off. Of course, big news lately that they're getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Time goes way too fast, obviously. But speaking of which, my kids, back to the Mike's son. You know, my youngest kid's 11, and it seems like yesterday I was being told that time does go fast. Christmas was good. Hope everybody else out there had Christmas. Celebrate. I didn't see Final Battle. I'm sure Mike did, and he'll be able to talk about it. But coming out of it, Davey Richards hangs on to the heavyweight title. The one thing that I was kind of depressed about, I haven't seen it yet. I do plan on seeing the replay, but maybe feel better about it after the fact. But seeing Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team drop the tag team title to Briscoes. Entertaining as I find the Briscoes, I'm not entertained by them. Yeah. They're good for what they do. I don't know. I would have loved to have seen Haas and Benjamin that title. Just keep going, showing these young tag teams. I know Mike's a Young Bucks fan. Guys, I believe last week he was thinking, we had Bob Evans on. I think he was talking about his belief was that it might end up going tag team tournament, the gauntlet type tournament they ran, that I think he thought that Shock was going to win. Didn't quite pan out that way. What else? Oh, we were going to talk about UFC 41 tonight. We will do that as well. All right, not sure who's on the line here, but I've got somebody from Atlanta. Thank God somebody called in. You're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Jonathan Williams, the host of Georgia Wrestling Now.
Oh, thank God somebody else called in. I cannot solo for the life of me. How's it going, sir? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I had my wisdom teeth extracted today, so I am actually at home to hear your show.
Jesus, man, when I had my wisdom teeth on, I don't remember the first 3 days after the fact. I ended up having all four pulled at the same time. What about you?
Yeah, I had all four pulled.
The whole thing? Oh, wow. Yeah, I was gassed and wheeled out, man. So you guys have got the big Georgia Wrestling Awards coming next Monday. That's be a good show. I'll be getting you that list, by the way. Good thing you called. I can make a note of that. I was going to shoot those over to you so you're prepared to maybe schedule a few guests for Monday night. You got any special plans, though, for the show?
No, we have Larry Goodman's going to be part of the show to help us go over the winners and everything. But other than that, hopefully Nemesis will call in. And I hadn't scheduled any guests because I don't know yet who any of the winners are. So, yeah, whenever you get that to me, I'll start contacting some of the winners. Or should I contact them in advance? Will that blow it? Will that give it away?
Yeah, we'll talk about that off the air. It's kind of a dicey thing. I know Larry kind of set that up last year, but you know, let him kind of maybe, I guess, you know, you guys work together on what you're going to do. I know he was going to help you lay it out and try to figure out who's what. I gave him a lot more detail than we'll actually put up on the website in terms of where everybody placed. You know, who came close, who didn't, all names. Kind of like the college football does the others getting votes kind of thing at the end of the top 25. We got something like that, too. So at least that way people that even if they didn't win, they'll at least know that their peers acknowledged them.
Yeah.
There were actually a few surprises this year.
I had a hard time with a few of the categories because, like, most improved and wrestler of the year could have gone either way for a few people for me. So I'll be interested to see who actually got those.
Yeah. I was very, very intrigued by quite a few of them. I actually raised eyebrows as a few came across. But we ended up having, let's see, I think it was ended up being about 97 people voted. It's pretty good. It was the second best year we've had since we started doing it. Last year was a lot less people than we hoped for, but the first year was pretty good. And hopefully we can get those numbers back up there. It was actually over 100 2 years. So you watch Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up with it. Did you see this this Monday's edition?
I saw most of it. Our show ran a little about 15 minutes into Raw. So, but I did actually go and find it on YouTube and see what I missed at the beginning with CM Punk and everything. I thought the previous week's Raw was probably the best one in a few years. This week's was pretty good, though. I like the thing with Kane a lot. Curious to see where that's going to take things, especially with John Cena.
Hold on 1 second. Let me bring Mike on. Mike Sempervivi is with us. Mike, of course, we're speaking with Jonathan Williams, the host of Georgia Wrestling Now on the network here. Mike, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Considering I had all four wisdom teeth extracted today.
Ooh. Are you doing this show under medication?
I am.
Aren't we all?
But, you know, Nemesis co-hosts on medication almost every week, so.
Well, that's how most people listen to us.
So anyway,
when he's not on medication, when he's not on medication, that's when he's belittling little people. I don't know. I don't know if you heard
again,
that show.
It's like Bobby Heenan always said, you know, you can't trust them. You know, it's much like midgets, you know. Yeah, you always got to be checking for your wallet, and, you know, they got little hands and they smell like cabbage.
So anyway, back to things that won't get us beat up in the streets. the whole Kane John Cena thing, Mike, I'm sure you saw it. Are they finally just going to turn Cena heel now?
I think they're trying to extend out being able to walk the line with it. And I think they're going to extend it out up until WrestleMania, which if they can actually hold something out that long, it would be something because it would give it time to build and stew and all that stuff. And if they want to be creative enough, if they want to put their mind to it, and you know that they can when it comes to big things. I mean, if they want to stick to something, they're great at it. It's always... And again, last year's WrestleMania was, I think, somewhat of an aberration. But, you know, in past years, to the stuff that they want to build up and care about, they usually do a great job with it. And if they want to walk this line all the way up until then, okay. I never thought I'd ever say you should probably turn Cena heel, but the way they left him dangling out there as a character and as a punching bag, giving him no testicular fortitude whatsoever. And again, remember how people responded to him after Money in the Bank and when he was going head up with Alberto Del Rio, when he dropped the goofiness and he actually was just, you know, was a man again, people responded positively to it. And they're going to do – my problem is I have no faith in anything that they're doing. So, you know, I don't know how this is, you know, how this is going to play out, but, you know, the Cena sucks shirts and I just – I don't know. I don't have much faith in them after really the last year plus.
And Jonathan, you say you're at least interested in where they're going with it.
Well, honestly, I think they've been. I think unlike many things that WWE does, it seems like they do things. They don't let things build up for very long. But I think they've actually been building this up for a while, starting with the whole thing with The Rock, leading into last WrestleMania. And, you know, WWE, unlike most wrestling promotions, is a big company with a marketing department and things like that. So I think a lot of things, from changing the colors of his merchandise to hinting at him turning heel right before WrestleMania last year, which was also in Chicago when he and Raw had that little altercation. He and The Rock, I'm sorry, on Raw. See, I am on medication. anyway, I think WWE, we'll see what happens, but I think they've been building that for a while, and they probably will build it up all the way to WrestleMania, especially considering that he's facing The Rock in Miami and all that. So The Rock is naturally going to be the fan favorite, regardless of what people think of John Cena, because he'll be in his hometown. But, yeah, I'm just curious how they're going to do it, more so if they're going to do it. And I like Kane's new mask a lot.
I think it's a matter of what kind of affirmation they can give Cena afterwards, or if they do turn him heel, then what do you do? I mean, the only other option then is Randy Orton, and I don't know. I don't know. They should have never let Cena tangle out there, even though he was going to be somewhat of a heel against The Rock. I mean, it's hard to have faith in him. And again, with Cena, all you had to do was give him balls. Again, it's not that hard. Just make him somewhat cool to the fan base by going out there and kicking ass. I mean, it just, I don't know. It's frustrating because they've lost it. They've lost the plot on him completely. And I don't know. I don't trust how they've gone about this whole thing, for most of the time anyway. So I don't know, after The Rock leaves after WrestleMania and he's not around anymore, what you got?
Well, I think just turning Cena heel will open it up to turn lots of people who are currently heels face, people who have been, who can say, well, I told you all along I didn't like Cena, stuff like that. So, and they've got people like Dolph Ziggler and people that are getting popular despite still being heels. So by making him a heel, that could give plenty of other people an opportunity to become the next big face for the company, or at least one of them.
But are they going to get that opportunity? Or are they really? I mean, Del Rio, I mean, they're the ones who kind of pushed and pulled back and pushed and pulled back, and for a multitude of reasons throughout the year, kind of, pushed them up, pulled them back, pushed them up, pulled them back. And, and then at the end of it, they go, well, man, he dropped the ball. We're going to go with somebody else. And we saw it with Punk, and we saw it with Miz. And, Dolph Ziggler is going to be, possibly the next case of it. And Swagger to a lesser degree. There's got other guys to a lesser degree, but their fear of getting somebody over that hump has left them with Cena Orton, which, I mean, it's not like you can't fill it. They go into that malaise after WrestleMania anyway, where they could have somewhat of a drop-off in their hot summer thing, a la Nexus, a la blowing up Mr. McMahon, a la CM Punk pipe bomb this year, could be something leading into Cena and Orton. But they, again, what do you have outside of that? Even Mark Henry turns face, which he could do, and people would still believe it as long as he's kicking ass, and they'd be happy with it as long as he's kicking ass. Again, you can only go so far with that, with a dirty Cena. I don't know. Even though it creates a lot of fresh things, it's what do you fill that void in with merchandise too and some other things, because you haven't established anybody as being a superstar. They say superstar over and over again, but they haven't. Again, they don't have superstars. They have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, my faith is burnt out in them until they give me something to believe in.
Yeah, I see where you're both coming from, and I agree with all that. I guess I'm just some little bit of wishful thinking on my part.
The eternal optimist.
But, I mean, at the same time, you know, now they're selling T-shirts that say Cena sucks, and then the other side says we can't see you, and those have become top sellers for them. So they have to be paying attention to things like that, you know. When your top heel, I mean your top face, when your top face's T-shirts that say he sucks are becoming top sellers, that's going to tell them something, you know.
Well, they also, if that's the case of where they're going to, and obviously this is going to be a spark for them, they have to stop marketing to kids. You know, they have to. I mean, you can still sell stuff to kids. I mean, it's not like you can, like, wipe out merchandising altogether or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But unless you're going to come up with, you know, again, if they went 31 flavors, this wouldn't be an issue because you could have, you know, say Mr. Coke came in spotted correctly, or, you know, there's always going to be guys where you can slot them up where they can be on the cover of the WWE Kids magazine,
mm-hmm.
You know, Steve Austin with a middle finger on there, you know, and, you know, you don't need him on there, but, you know, Santino with, you know, a wacky shirt on around some kids, okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
But they have
Back
to,
rider.
Now, they got to retool and rethink, and they got a lot of oars in the water. They got to rethink then, okay, if the women and kids love John Cena, so now everybody in the arena who's a little bit older than them is yelling at a four-year-old, Cena sucks, and it's just like it makes it uncomfortable or kind of confusing because, you know, again, the kids will get into it, but still, what are you going to do for them? How do you get them away from Cena then onto somebody else? It's just, have they thought out all of these things? Which, you know, you figure as a, you know, multi-million dollar company, obviously, what, hundreds of millions of dollars a year or close to it, you know, they've thought about these things, but as we've seen with the WWE Network, which is rapidly approaching, and they have, I mean, it was a daunting task when times were good. This is bizarre right now to do these things. You know, have they thought everything out? And that's where I've lost the most faith in them, because that's something they always did incredibly well. Whether you
mm-hmm.
liked their direction or not, you knew at least their bases were all covered. And I think any investors, there's a lot of people who lost a lot of confidence in them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they thought everything out, but I think they probably thought a few things out. And in regards to John Cena's fan base being kids, he's been their top face for at least 6 or 7 years now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of those kids are getting to the age where, if he does turn heel, they'll probably actually embrace that, depending on what kind of heel he is. If he's like a anti-hero kind of heel, then the kids that were 6 years old when they started liking him 6 years ago are now 12 and 13 years old, and they're ready for someone. You know, they're going through their phase of teenage rebellion. So if he becomes sort of a rebellious character, then a lot of them will probably go along with that. Not all of them will, but I like to think that WWE
has thought
about
of
that.
It from that. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of it from that perspective, but you kind of got a point there.
No, my thing is with that, it's Steve Austin is the greatest example of that. It's not that you needed to do this with John Cena, and that's, to me, the most disappointing part of this whole thing with The Rock. It's not like you could do Hogan Ultimate Warrior all over again. I mean, that era has somewhat passed, but you could have at least kept Cena strong by not treating him like a goof in all this, where you wouldn't have to worry about that ascension up. I mean, because really, it doesn't matter. As long as John Cena doesn't act like a fool all the time, then those kids, even though they won't turn on him, but they can move to Randy Orton. They can move to other characters where you don't have to make him look so weak and so soft. And that's the biggest thing is, and again, you know, people booing him at some point, obviously he'll be a face again. I mean, he's John Cena. He's going to be around for a long time and be, you know, a superstar no matter what he is. But it's just, you know, in all of this, it's, again, it's a lack to me of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is where they were going to go from the beginning, I got to be honest, they've taken some weird, disjointed ways to get there.
Well, do you think that they're counting on CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or Zack Ryder to fill the void that might be left if Cena turns heel?
Do you think
they have confidence in any of those people? Enough confidence in them?
Why would they? I mean, look what they've done with all those, like, again, R-Truth, The Miz, John Morrison, all of these guys, you know, over the past year or two, Alberto Del Rio. Why? I mean, Del Rio and Ziggler, to me, have the most legs, but why would you believe, you know, look at Ryder now. Now Ryder's going to be, you know, pushed away by Eve Torre. I mean, I just, he is, I don't want to say a one-note gimmick, but, you know, he is what he is. CM Punk, I mean, we already have Dave Meltzer talking about, you know, quarter hours failing and then being upset with that. And it's, again, he's in the pile with everybody else. And I don't think they certainly did not do him any favors. I mean, career wise, in a lot of ways, they did. You know, financially, they absolutely did. But I don't think as a character, they did him a whole lot of favors, you know, with how everything led out. I mean, obviously, the start was fantastic and it had real legs. But, you know, again, how can you have any confidence that they'll do that when they don't have confidence in doing it with anybody on their roster? And yeah, I'd like to see him step up. I mean, you know, CM Punk, if nothing else, you always need a guy like that in the mix. I've always thought this because he's the one guy you can count on. Hot start not getting arrested, you know, not getting into trouble. He's perfect for kids. Not, and again, it's for the older kid, but it's, you know, again, he can portray a cool and, you know, the ability to kick ass and do cool moves and you know, do very well for himself. And still, you can always count on him being able to represent your company. And I don't know. And again, to me, Dolph Ziggler, again, perfect example. Daniel Bryan, again, I would always base something around a Daniel Bryan, the same way they did with Chris Benoit, the same way they did with, you know, within all wrestling companies with certain guys over the years. You know, he's never going to be John Cena, but he can be that guy in the mix and in the upper mid card. And have they given you any confidence that they're going to do that with him?
They're not quite yet. No.
Exactly. You know.
What about Sheamus?
Oh well, I mean, now I'll say this: Sheamus is in. He always seemed to be. But he's another guy, although Sheamus, what happened with him after King of the Ring, honest to God, where they had him, like, run away from Nexus and scream, and then they bury him for it, even though they wrote it out for him to do. I mean, I don't know if they took that as a litmus test, but I almost believe they did that with him just so on his DVD a couple years from now, he can retell the story about how he worked himself up from the bottom, and WWE was always fair to him, and sometimes you got to fight. You know what I mean? Because he was always like, he's Triple H's training partner, and, you know, he was in such a strong spot, it surprised me when whatever happened with him, and they kind of, you know, they kind of douched him out. I mean, I think he was looking at a match with, it was going to be Barrett and Undertaker at WrestleMania, and Sheamus and Triple H, and, you know, obviously what happened, but he's a guy that I think is pretty safe, and is a guy you're going to be able to rely on. I do like him a lot, and I think he's pretty safe. You know, so he will be in that mix. Now, as a good guy, you know, it's working right now, and maybe he'll always be able to play both sides of the coin, but I think he's probably going to be better as, you know, the bad guy for most of his time.
Right. Yeah, I agree
but
with that.
But he is one of the few. Yeah, he is one of the few that's at least there and seemingly safe and immune from too much foolishness.
Who do you think the vignettes are for that's returning next Monday?
I don't know. We should ask Chris Jericho. He loves that question.
They seem a little too dark for Jericho, unless he's going to, you know, take on a slightly different persona.
Maybe it could be Kenta Kobashi, and he's going to come back and team up with CM Punk against Johnny Ace.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's more likely than Jericho. Yeah. You know, you're right about it being dark. You know, my first inclination was actually something to do with the Undertaker, but I wasn't. I don't know.
It doesn't have an Undertaker feel to it either, though. But,
that's true.
I mean,
it doesn't have an Undertaker feel, but that's, you know, again, I don't know, but that would be the most obvious answer, I guess. And maybe by not alluding to it, that's how they're trying to build up more drama in it.
Well, that's
well,
just
if it.
It
is,
I mean,
Jericho,
they're
definitely
close
doing
to time
a,
for him to return. What's that?
If it is Jericho, I think they're doing a better job of keeping it mysterious. Last time, people figured it out after, like, the second one. it seemed like.
Well, maybe the Undertaker shows up on Dancing with the Stars.
Or maybe a notebook open and a big rainbow pops out and a bunch of like cartoon stars like off of like Schoolhouse Rock in the 70s, and out pops Rey Mysterio or something.
Yeah, he was already at the Slammies. He presented a Slammy.
Oh, how could I forget about the Slammies?
Oh, gee, yeah, let me count the ways. Guys, let's switch gears a little bit. Jonathan, you up to hanging around with us, talking a little Ring of Honor and MMA stuff?
Sure. I don't follow MMA quite as much, but, I mean, I know a little bit about it.
All right. Mike, I'm pretty sure you saw Final Battle.
I did.
Thoughts?
I was disappointed. And I think it was a victim of my own expectations.
In the entire show, or just your expected outcomes?
I was hurt by... I don't know. I always have these over-the-top expectations, and they've, you know, exceeded them on each one of the iPay-per-views. That's why I'm such a big proponent of them. Is that, you know, we talked about it last week, getting your $15 worth. I mean, I'm a big fan of the TV. I've been a fan of the iPay-per-views and everything, but some of the technical aspects, they really took me out of the show, and it didn't look good. The match order kind of boggled my mind. It was a really long show to me for what it was. It 4 hours and 15 minutes. Again, the main event was good, but I was kind of, you know, it had gotten to the point mentally at 11 o'clock, and I'm sitting there, and it's like, okay, this main event's going to start. I know they're going at least 40 minutes. I hope, though, they do like 25 to 30 minutes and go all out for that. And again, and there was nothing wrong with the match or anything like that. It was really good. But another thing that took me out, the chair shots and some of the plunderous, I mean, that drove me nuts. Camera shots drove me nuts. I had a lot of problems and a lot of things that took me out. Now, a lot of the actual wrestling, like the first couple of matches, I think went off well. I wish Lethal and Bennett was actually one-on-one and was placed differently in the card. There were a lot of things that took me out of it. Now, the wrestling itself, all in all, was pretty damn good. You know, no real complaints whatsoever, obviously with a few exceptions, the Gauntlet and some other things like that. But the wrestling itself was fine, but it was a lot of the aesthetic stuff that just took me way, way out of it. And to me, it's been the weakest one for me by far so far.
I have
not seen it
yet. And
again, maybe I'm a victim of my own expectations, but...
I haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna look for it on replay, but... You know, I heard about the chair shots to the head, and I think we can all pretty much agree that's just a practice that needs to stop. But in terms of the length of the shows themselves, I know they're huge shows. I know the internet pay per views are huge shows for these guys. I get that, but still, no more than three. I'd prefer two and a half hours tops, but no more than three. Because man, you're just pushing it after that. You're really kind of losing people. Attention spans just are not that long. And Ole Anderson once said it: a wrestling card should be kept to 2 hours, no longer than a movie. It takes you to go sit down in the theater and watch a movie.
Kind of exhale a little bit of what I said. When everything is rolling along and quick and awesome, like probably the old New Year's Eve shows for, you know, and the excitement of watching them here from, you know, the early 2000s from Japan that went on for days. I mean, there's going to be one on HDNet, you know, this weekend with the, I guess it's Dream. I think they're running under the Dream banner where it's going to be like the 8-hour show and there's a couple of pro wrestling matches and kickboxing matches and all that sort of wackiness on, you know, the New Year's Eve Japan show, it's probably going to be real long. Whereas the ones in the past, when they're really good, they flow really great. And there have been a couple of ROH pay-per-views that have gone long like this, and they've actually not been tough to watch. Now, the only again, where a big drawback is I've got a pretty good-sized computer screen and a really good internet connection, and if you don't have that, that also makes it really long. So, you know, I think this hopefully should give them pause to really go long, I guess. Go 3.5 hours, you know, the traditional pay-per-view being 3. But, you know, get the feel of the show because, again, they could have called, I think, an audible in that last match and really had a hard-hitting match that would have kept people, especially the way that crowd was. Because, and the miking of the crowd, one, was awful. And two, I mean, even though the crowd was not mic'd great, it still just sounded like that. They had nothing for that main event. And they probably should have felt that crowd better because as the night went on, it was obvious, at least to me watching at home, that they were getting, you know, they were slowing up immensely.
Jonathan, did you see the show?
No, I read the results, but it sounds like what's being said about this show is a common complaint for Ring of Honor as far as just kind of overdoing it, shows running really long. You know, I don't know if this show overall was indicative of, you know, or if what I've seen previously was indicative of what this show was like, but that's one thing. It gets a little boring sometimes when every match is portrayed as if it's the most important match on the card and there's multiple kickouts and things like that. And I love Ring of Honor though, and I think a lot of those guys do really impressive things that you don't see anywhere else, but I think just the overall execution, sometimes they just overdo it a little bit.
And yeah. I think a lot of criticisms, too. There are people who just don't like ROH, and it's across the board. There are people who just don't like Dragon Gate, people who just don't like Chikara. They go out of their way to just pounce on situations like this and beat it to death. And I've seen a lot of that, too, because really, I think I'm somewhat in the minority on it, but it's hard for anyone to say that the wrestling wasn't good. And
right.
I think there are some notable critics of it that I think have used this to pounce on it and kind of beat it to death a little bit of, this is what's wrong with Ring of Honor. Again, for the most part, I mean, really overall, I really like Ring of Honor and what they're doing. I just think this was a way disjointed show. It's a reminder that maybe with the way the setup is, I mean, there's a reason they didn't do a lot of instant replay before, you know, the new producer just figured instant replay was a good idea with the Go Fight Live setup. It's not an easy thing to do. That's why it was done in certain placements on shows before this, you know, take that into account. I mean, I think there were some things that this was just a, hopefully will be a learning experience show because it could have been called in a lot of ways to me, ROH identity crisis. So it'll just be interesting to see where they can take this from here. And again, they got the new set of tapings coming up in January. And again, they look like they're going to use the Drew Burns Arena. And that's going to be big too. How does the Baltimore crowd respond in the Drew Burns Arena? Is it somewhere because it's close to home, because it's Sinclair is right there? There's Sinclair's in Druid Hill Park, and Drew Burns Arena is not far from there. Will they get a good enough response to keep the tapings there all the time? So, again, they're in an interesting period right now.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you market the – well, I guess it's easy to market the Briscoes, I guess, as good guys, because they have to go with the direction with the way the world's greatest tag team was treated. I really think it was double switch time.
Yeah, Rich, you were saying earlier you were disappointed in the outcome of that match, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got a major man crush on wrestling's greatest tag team. Oz and Benjamin are just awesome, and I've never really – I said it earlier the same way, and I'll say it again. As entertaining as I do find the Briscoes, I'm not entertained by them. And I don't know.
Now, Charlie Haas has always had this problem on his own. I you know, and I hate to see them broken up, and I would like to see them just – I think they can have a team like RVD and Sabu were in ECW a lot of the time, but still have, you know, independent success. I think Shelton Benjamin in the top mix and a guy to focus on for Sinclair wouldn't be all that bad of an idea. In fact, I think it would be a pretty good one to get him in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nothing against Roderick Strong, but Roderick Strong, Shelton Benjamin, as a character overall, you know, the pedigree, the whole nine yards. I'm sorry, I got to take Shelton Benjamin. I know it's insulting to old ROH fans probably, but no, I think him in the Knicks would be a big deal.
Switching gears a little bit, UFC 141 coming up this weekend. Mike, recap the MMA world and give us a preview of 141.
Well, Jonathan, I'll ask you, and Rich, you know, you follow the UFC as much as you can. Obviously, this is the big one. Does it move your needle at all to see Brock Lesnar in the UFC? Would you buy the
pay-per-view? Every chance I get, absolutely.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
As far as Brock Lesnar not being a huge MMA fan, is Brock Lesnar the type of thing that would make you order a pay-per-view as a casual or passing MMA fan?
Yeah, and I think he has definitely probably sold them some pay-per-view buys since he started. You know, it was a big deal when he started. He lost his first match, right? His first MMA
yep.
match.
Yeah, he was pummeling Frank Mir before he was, well, at least in the UFC, he was pummeling Frank Mir before he got caught in a knee bar, I think it was.
Right. And then he, within four or five matches after that, was the UFC champion. So he's only lost, what, two matches in his UFC career? Is that right?
Yep. He was knocked out by, Brainlock. Now, Cain Velasquez to lose the UFC title.
Yeah, I saw that match. Not live, but I have seen it since it happened. It was really entertaining. And, I think he's definitely a draw, and I would watch it, sure.
I'll say this, in my office, there's a bunch of casual MMA guys around that I work with, and there's two guys that they absolutely will watch, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're also Bulldogs fans, but they'll drop anything and watch Lesnar and Herschel Walker. So while I've mentioned his name, Mike, have you heard anything about him and what's going on with him and another fight?
Oh, I have not, no, and I haven't seen that. I can't remember, he's got an interview up, or he did a recent interview, and I have no idea, it could be Sports Illustrated, it could be Playboy. I honestly could not tell you, I think they have actually been Playboy, you know, what was in it, or what was talked about as far as his future plans go. He's... If I'm Zuffa, and I assume, I don't know if he had a fight-by-fight contract or what the deal is, but he is a great guy to continue on, you know, keeping eyeballs on Strikeforce, you know, especially when you have a weaker card, and in the UFC as well. But I think if you're going to keep Strikeforce going, you don't need any wacky, you know, fights in the UFC. I think if you're, you know, Herschel Walker, obviously he's never going to be a title contender. That's not the thing with him. But I think you can have showcases, and I've been a big proponent of that when it comes to women's MMA. Even though they don't have deep conferences and deep divisions, they really, you know, you have money in Ronda Rousey. You had money in Miesha Tate and Cyborg and Gina Carano and Marlos Conan and some of these other women. You know, utilize it to the nth degree, and you can use Strikeforce for that. And it's a perfect place for Herschel Walker to have fights. It's a great, you know, after boxing, you know, as a time with boxing on a Saturday night, you know, for Showtime going head up against HBO boxing or something like that, it's great. And I hope he's going to fight. I know he's going to fight again. I mean, I find it difficult for him not to, without competitive as he is, and the fact that, you know, again, he can do it, and there's money for him in it, and there's money for whoever showcases it. And Strikeforce, it's a perfect move.
By the way, that interview with Playboy that you were talking about, I think that's you're thinking of the one that's coming up, the March edition, the UFC ring girl, Brittany.
I'm going to buy that Playboy.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. The interview, of course. So anyway,
you know,
UFC 141.
Yeah, and it's Friday. Everyone's got to remember that too, which I don't. I think they made a mistake with this, and I understand lots of people go out on New Year's Eve, but there's a lot of people who, over the years with drunk driving and things like that, you know, they call it an amateur night, and you can just stay home, and you know, it's an excuse to have a house party. So I probably would have done this actually on New Year's Eve, even with all the competition. because I think Lesnar Overeem is going to sell no matter what, but it's actually going to be on Friday, December 30th, and Brock Lesnar, Aleister Overeem, the former K-1 champion, the former Pride 205-pound contender who is swollen now to probably going to be weighing about 250 pounds, something like that. I don't know, maybe 240. I think that's when he fought the last time in the States. There's always about a 20-pound difference between him fighting in the States and Japan. I don't know why, but he's going to fight Brock Lesnar. And, you know, Lesnar coming back after the deferred articulitis again, one thing we know about Brock Lesnar, doesn't like to get hit. So show that with Cain Velasquez, Shane Carwin survived him, outlasted him with the stamina, but just couldn't hold up to Cain Velasquez. What can Aleister Overeem do? He can hit and kick really, really hard. And we're going to see if he's going to be able to do it. Obviously, Lesnar's wrestling better, his grappling's better, but Overeem's been around a long time, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. But, again, big fight for Lesnar to come back from, and this is going to do huge with GSP being out for quite some time with the knee injury. They need Brock Lesnar to bring in pay-per-view buys, and he should do it here against Aleister Overeem. The semi-main event, the lightweight bout between Donald Cerrone and Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, a lot of mouth, a lot of attitude. Why? He's a Diaz. And Donald Cerrone, the cowboy, who's got a great cult following. He's a legitimate star that the WEC helped to build. And in the showcases on Versus, the fights against Ben Henderson, and he's moving in line for a lightweight title fight against Frankie Edgar, and he's in that mix with a lot of guys. I mean, you have Gilbert Melendez in Strikeforce. You have a lot of guys in the UFC or in that weight that are looking to fight Frankie Edgar, and he looks like he could be one of the next ones if he gets by Nate Diaz on Friday. And then the third from the top, John Fitch and Johnny Hendricks. John Fitch is probably the number one contender at the 175-pound title. But until he finishes somebody, not via wrestling in a three-round unanimous decision, that's really, really boring and painful to watch, he'll never get his title shot.
A little interesting nose-to-nose deal with Cerrone Diaz at the press conference today. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. I am not surprised whatsoever.
Diaz knocked his cowboy hat off and pushed him.
That's not good. You don't do that to a cowboy. Years of professional wrestling have taught me that.
Yeah, but watching Stan Hansen. But they jumped right in the middle and kept it from blowing. But it was pretty interesting. Miguel Torres.
Yeah, he's had feuds. That's one thing with Cerrone too. He's a character and he's got the cowboy thing. He's already been in feuds with a rivalry feud with Ben Henderson in WEC, but also with Jamie Varner, who got hit with, he hit him with an illegal knee. He always says, swore that he could have continued the fight and actually lost the WEC lightweight title. So he knows how to handle himself. And obviously Nate Diaz, there's something in that blood that just make them perfect for folk to be foils on camera.
Miguel Torres is back. Hear about that?
I didn't, because I haven't had a chance to check around too much,
but
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about kind of the double standard going on there, and apparently he was brought back, and Dana White says he's handled his business like a man.
Well, it's too bad Dana didn't in this case. I mean, honestly, it still cheeses me off, about the whole thing with Rashad. But you know what? It's blown over in the media. It didn't get traction, which is good. So, I guess everything works out for the best here. But, was there a blatant double standard? Yes. Did Miguel Torres need to stop being a jackass on Twitter? Yes. And, again, this just is a sign to everyone out there. Sometimes sarcasm, and not everybody watches the shows you watch, so be careful what jokes you put out there.
Yes, he does need to be careful, but so do another couple of fighters. Yeah, just want to point out to anybody out there, if you go to Ringside Wrap, this evening's report, we had a link to an article Greg Oliver wrote on former pro wrestler and former pro football player Ron Pritchard. Pretty good piece there. I want to check that out. TNA ramping up for January the 8th. Is anybody keeping up with that? Anybody keeping up with TNA these days?
a little bit.
Pretty good.
No, I didn't see the show immediately after the pay-per-view. I only saw very little of that one, so I would get a catch back up tomorrow.
Yeah, Jonathan, with you being here, give us a reason, if you have any, that we should actually be tuning in every week and giving these guys a shot without fast-forwarding through the program.
I don't know if I can do that.
There you go.
You know, and I'm going to say this again, and it, you know, the last show of the year, and God, we've been saying this now for 2 or 3 years here on the show, but we want to like TNA. We really
mm-hmm.
do. We want to watch the show. It's just hard. It's just hard to watch it. You know, as difficult as it is to watch a 4-hour internet pay-per-view, it's even harder to watch 2 hours of Impact.
Yeah. I think every time they have momentum or start doing something interesting, they immediately screw it up. And I don't understand that at all.
It
always feels like watching the worst indie show with the best budget or something.
That's a good description of it, because that's what it feels like, and you know, huge talent or huge names anyway, and some really good talent sprinkled throughout the roster, but you know, it's like, you know, if you're not going to do anything with them that makes anybody even remotely want to tune in, or worse yet, buy a damn pay-per-view, you know. As bad as their TV is, the pay-per-views are drawing worse numbers, and sadly, it seems like those are probably the best shows, but nobody cares enough to actually want to go buy them. They are finally doing, I guess, the divorce angle between the Pope and Brother Devon, fighting over the kids now, fighting over custody for whatever that's worth. That's my take on what it looks like, but I don't know. I'm completely tired of that angle.
I think the Pope is a perfect example of one of the biggest talents that they've wasted over the past couple of years, and they made him interesting. They turned him into the Pope. They turned what was his name in ECW, WWE?
Elijah Burke.
Yeah. Who was okay, but I think the Pope character was much more interesting, and they had a good thing going with him for a little while when he first came in, and then I had almost forgotten that he was even in that angle with Devon and the kids and all that.
Yeah, I do like the fact that Austin Aries has gotten a nice push there, and you know, it's, for what the X Division is, I guess you know, I can appreciate it a little more with him being a part of it. Kid Cash bringing him back, you know. I don't know. I've always kind of been torn on Cash. I think he's fun to watch. Maybe you know, little shot in the arm. Maybe to some of the younger talent. Maybe getting a little training in with them on the side and whatnot. But I don't know. Mike, have you even watched any of Impact this month?
Oh yeah. Yeah, again, I saw little parts of it last week. You know, I saw the whole thing with Devon and the kids, and you know, a couple other things, you know, throughout the night, and you know, the one from a couple weeks ago, or I guess was it last week with Jarrett and Karen, or was that 2 weeks ago?
That was a couple weeks ago. And then last week you had Kurt Angle in the barroom brawl.
Yeah, see, I didn't see that, so I didn't have a chance to see the barroom brawl portion of the proceedings or anything.
Oh,
but
so that means you missed all the off-site comedy segments with Eric Young and ODB then, right? Oh God.
Oh God. Yes, I did, but you know what? I think I'll live with that, you know, that out of my life.
I tell you what, I'll tape that for you, and I'll shoot it your way.
Ooh,
I know you're,
that, you know what? That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I don't want you to go through that kind of effort, Rich.
Yeah.
I'll through.
All right.
Yeah, I usually find Impact on YouTube the next day, and I have it on while I'm doing other things, but... this past week's episode, I haven't been able to find on there. So
nobody bothered. Nobody wanted to bother. So anyway, we're going to get close to wrapping up here. Mike, I did want to ask you, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you, and normally we would have started the show off this way, but of course, you know, tardy. But so in terms of Christmas, did you have a good one, sir?
It was great. You know, 35 years old, going to be 36, and, you know, obviously for a long time, Christmas not the same. You know, have with the significant other you have with the family, but there's nothing like having a kid, and now Avery going to be 4 years old in January. So this was kind of an epic Christmas because he really knows what's going on. You know, Elf on the Shelf really sunk in as far as keeping this kid semi-straight, you know, in the lead up to Christmas. But it's always great to see Santa Claus be the hero and to vicariously live through your kid. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the documentation of this on my brand new iPhone has disappeared with the syncing to the computer that I was doing with the iPhone. So that's a little disappointing, but I do have a couple of pictures and another camera, video camera that we taped a lot of his stuff on. So it was great, actually. And again, there's nothing like having a 4 year old that really reminds you of the greatness of Christmas. And he was very John Wall happy. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the picture on Facebook or anything like that, Rich, but yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Santa brought the basketball hoop, brought the new John Wall Reeboks and the new Wizards jersey, the John Wall number 2 jersey, and some other Washington Wizards related things. You know, everything was looking good against New Jersey a couple nights ago. Then they blew a 21-point lead. Andre Blotch, who for some bizarre reason is the team captain, does Andre Blotch type things. And I don't know, the last time they had peeked at the TV before I jumped on the phone here, I believe the score was 20-4 Hawks over the Wizards in the first quarter. So we're right back to last year.
Oh, yeah.
thank you for Jordan Crawford. I do like him a lot.
Yeah, everybody needs to hit Mike up on Facebook for the
just to see pictures of his kid. He was curled in Delaware. You know, me with Zach now being 11, he's of course our youngest. We are sort of out of the toy era now, but a little more grown up gifts, and you know, so Christmas has kind of lost its little kid thing, and you know, it's a real shame because I got to say I was kind of like you, you know, going through a second childhood, living through the kids, you know, Christmas.
Well, his uncle got him like Nerf machine guns. You think he messed with that? No, we put on the glasses and the Velcro chest protectors and shot each other.
Jonathan, how was your Christmas?
It was pretty good. I ate way too much food and didn't do a whole lot of gift exchanging or anything like that. Just hung out with some friends and ate and drank and had a good day.
All right. Yeah, we had more of a needs Christmas around our house. You know, one big thing for the kids, and then everything else was pretty much closed. Every one of our kids are one of them, by the way, is an adult at this point. So you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we're not going to go broke on you anymore. We've done our going broke on you. We'll give you something, but you know, you're on your own now, pal. But for the other two, of course, still at the ages of going through growing spurts like you wouldn't believe, needing clothes every 3 months, it seems like. So it was more of a, hey, here's some new jeans, here's some new shirts, yada, yada, here's some new shoes. See ya.
I was talking kind of off the cuff at the top of the show about stuff I'd gotten.
My wife was great enough to get me some books. Nothing wrestling related, but stuff I'd been wanting. One of them was Jeff McKagan's autobiography, and just from a few years ago. I think it was 2008 when his was written.
Yeah.
Ace Frehley's
book that just came out as well. You know, an interesting thing about Duff McKagan, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but he actually he had almost died back in '94, and
yeah.
He ended up doing some kickboxing training after that, mountain biking and serious kickboxing training with some people, and actually did some sparring with some world champion kickboxers as part of
what he was doing at the gym to get himself back into shape.
And isn't he?
He's
like a financial advisor or something now too, isn't he?
Oh yeah. And he's talking. Well, yeah,
he had a monthly thing, I guess, in Playboy where he was doing that, and then also now I know he's got a sports column that he does at ESPN. But yeah, he went and did. He went and got a degree.
Rich, did you see Guns N' Roses when they came to town in Atlanta a few months ago?
No, I'm not interested in this version.
Well,
you don't like
I was
that
there.
Axel?
No, I take it you went.
I was there. It was. He's got a great band. He still sounds great, but it's not Guns N' Roses.
I'll catch it every once in a while, but not often.
They showed some clips with him with the new band.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Duff's like, he's a real interesting character. It was great to read that stuff.
Super awesome story about that period in his life. I highly recommend it. The funny thing is, he ends up talking about around that same time, he ended up getting into the stock market. And he's talking about how he bought stock. This is like 95, and he's talking about how he bought stock in Amazon, Starbucks, and Microsoft. I'm pretty sure that he's never going to be hurting for any money.
Right. So
that's
I'm
actually
curious.
Great to hear, because my mental picture of him is still in that era and in the haze that came out of that era after he was kicked out and he went through all those problems. I mean, that's kind of where my memories of him end. So to hear that ending, that's much better.
Yeah, and it's going to be real interesting to see if you know, they get back together and do something with the Hall of Fame.
And
yeah,
God, how old I feel now. Just the fact that their album came out.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, let's see. Mike, what do you got to plug, man?
Well, obviously the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare for members of the F4WOnline.com, WrestlingObserver.com Empire. Should be doing a show again here real soon. Obviously me ranting about the New York Rangers will be in some part of it there, but also the Tokyo Dome show. Coming up on January 4th for New Japan and bunches of other stuff happening in Japan and all over the place. A lot of talk probably about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I know Adam saw it, liked it a little bit more than me. I think it was more in the majority of people what they thought about the show, which was, you know, hey, the good wrestling kind of outdid the aesthetics. I don't agree with that, but I believe that's what his stance is. I'm sure we'll debate that back and forth. Wrestling Observer Live this week on Sports Byline, the Sports Byline Radio Network, Sunday 6 to 8 on Sirius Channel 208 on, I forget the XM, or I'm sorry, XM 208, Sirius Channel 98. I'm not sure how much football is going to interfere with it this weekend, at least on the Sirius portion, but if it does, just go to WrestlingObserver.com or SportsByline.com to hear it. It's probably going to be an evergreen show. I don't think we're going live, but I'll be finding that out soon enough. But even if it's a repeat of a show, it's still worth hearing. So there you go.
All right. And, Jonathan, what do you got going on? Of course, it's a good time to plug all the stuff you work on.
Well, I have Georgia Wrestling Now on Monday nights at 8. And this Monday, as we mentioned earlier, we'll be announcing the winners of the Georgia Wrestling Awards for 2011. I have WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, where I review and interview wrestlers and bands and circus performers and various other things. The most recent thing I published on there was a review of the new WWE Best Pay-Per-View Matches of 2011 DVD, which is pretty good. You can read my review there. I reviewed the King of the Ring DVD last week. I reviewed Ring of Honor's Eddie Edwards DVD not long ago. So there's plenty of wrestling stuff on there. I write Sheer Art Attack, which is a art column for Stomp and Stammer magazine, which is available in the Atlanta area for free. I guess that's it. I write for Creative Loafing, so I have stuff in there every once in a while, too. Nothing
right,
big coming up for them, though.
All right. Want to also get the word out for Les once again. He did send his apologies. He couldn't be here. They're trying to get some staffing issues worked out at the gym he's at. He hopes to be back here with us to kick off the year right next week. Want to just wish everybody a happy new year, as do all of us, and hope that everybody's safe. Want to mention that you can get in touch with him at epwt.com or via email at les@epwt.com for anything he may be able to help you with, especially if you're a wrestler or you're with a wrestling promotion. Help you pretty much in any facet. He is a jack of all trades, been in the business for God knows ever. 51 years now, Mike? Something like that?
I think 51, 52. How old is Les now? If he's 72, I think it's been 52 years.
Yeah. And let's see. Keep up with him there. He also does audio each week with Mike Johnson on PWInsider.com. And, of course, weekends he does the Doc Young Wrestling Weekly show at the Observer
with Will Strauss, and his name escapes me. Who's the other guy, Mike?
Oh, no. And he's doing
okay,
a really good job, too.
I'm drawing a brain fart. All right.
Hold on.
Will
I'm
Strauss
find,
and the other
before
guy.
We go off.
Will Strauss and the other guy.
Oh, I do have
tomorrow night
thing.
On.
Sorry, I do have
right,
another thing
ahead.
To mention, if I may. I have an article on Truth Martini in the next issue of Inside Wrestling / The Wrestler, which is like a sister publication of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
One of my favorites from back in the day. Both of my favorites from back in the day. Roll Call
yeah.
the Champions.
So that'll be available, I believe, mid-January. So look for that.
You know, that reminds me, too. I want to put a word out. Awesome. Fighting spirit. I have it in front of me right now. But awesome stuff. Awesome. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, because I want to get a little bit in detail about it when I talk about it.
But when you were talking about Inside Wrestling and PWI, that just made me think of that. Let's see, tomorrow night, Peach State Pandemonium, they're going to be recapping, all those lost in 2011, fallen legends in the wrestling business. A memorial type show tomorrow night. Of course, that's hosted by Mike Norris, along with Bobby Simmons and Jerry Oates. We want to get into that at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for all Georgia and Southern regional news and information. Stay tuned to RingsideRap.com for all the big stuff, WWE, UFC, TNA, Ring of Honor, and more. And occasionally some boxing stuff. Mike, what's coming up on the boxing front? Anything anything looking good as we go into the new year?
They did announce a show for February 4th at the Alamo Dome. It's Nonito Donaire. Filipino Flash is going to be facing Wilfredo Vasquez Jr., who is not the son of Wilfredo Vasquez, but is the cousin. This happens a lot in wrestling and boxing, and in a lot of sports, taking on somebody else's moniker there. So even though he's Wilfredo Vasquez, he's not really Wilfredo Vasquez Jr., but they're going to be fighting on an undercard of the Julio Chavez Jr. fight, which, you know, it's not going to be against Canelo Alvarez, but obviously if Chavez wins this fight he's got coming up, there's no doubt it's going to be a mega fight. I would do it at the new Cowboys Stadium with Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That will be huge. So if Chavez comes out of this in February with the win, Canelo, I'm sure, is going to have a warm-up. That's going to be a massive, massive fight, an absolutely massive fight. It'll fly under the radar because of who they are, but it's going to get some mainstream sports appeal, and it's going to be a big, big surprise and will be a big pay-per-view surprise next year.
All right, sounds cool.
Jonathan's column in Inside Wrestling and The Wrestler, made famous course, by will help to be made famous by Bill Apter, who
of course
Les talks about with Will Strauss and Victor Sosa, who is the other co-host of Wrestling Weekly.
There we go. There we go. Not nice way to work that in as we trail off here. Hey, one other question, Mike. Just because I don't know, it triggered. Just in the last week, Floyd Mayweather Jr., I guess, is going to have to do, what, 90-day sentence. When does that start?
I don't know how long they're going to draw it out for. Obviously, he's going to draw it out for as long as he can. I don't know how that works in Nevada. If I were him, I'd get done and over with sooner, a lot more than later. I don't know if he's the type that's going to want to put it off or not. Does it put off Pacquiao and Mayweather? Of course it does, but everything was going to put it off anyway. There was no way this fight, because a lot of people are lamenting over this, there was no way that fight was going to take place in May anyway. You do major fights at two times. You do them in May, you do them in September. That's where Oscar De La Hoya set the bar. That's when you do those fights now. It's like, you sold your big show of the year on Thanksgiving. You either do it on Cinco de Mayo, you do it in September. So it's looking, this fight could happen in September. There's no reason why it can't. Will it? Probably not. And we're going to be stuck again for another year. And as another year goes on, more interest in this damn thing erodes. And what's boxing got?
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Jonathan, I want to thank you for sitting in with us, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for a big show Monday night. Looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, you got some information in your inbox if you hadn't already checked that.
We'll be
back here next week, and hopefully Les will be with us. That's it, and everybody have a safe and happy New Year.
All right, you too.
Listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.